I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. All of us were raised in the same basic religious culture of our day and time. And every picture that we've ever seen of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ has depicted one man on the right and the other on the left with Christ in the center. There's a record in God, there are records in God's word that we're going to be studying tonight, which just contradict that which we have been taught and that which we have seen in pictures. And therefore you have to make up your mind, is the word of God right, or is the historical religious teaching that we have received accurate? And one of the things we have done through the years is endeavored to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word and letting that word speak. And then changing our living according to the revelation that's given in that word. You will see from God's word as we delve into it tonight that it says there were two malefactors and two robbers, King James calls them thieves, crucified with Jesus. The historical tenets of so-called Christianity have indicated that these malefactors, those two malefactors and the two robbers or the two thieves are synonymous, identical. And yet, there are so many discrepancies that appear along that line in the Word of God that just does not warrant that position. If something is identical, then it has to be what? Identical. If there is one iota of difference, then it is no longer identical. You had supper last night, I hope. Maybe some of you had supper tonight. Let's say you had bologna last night and you had bologna tonight. Is that identical? Better not be, or you'd had to regurgitate that bologna, put it back into a very beautiful form, and eat it all over again. See, when something is identical, there can be no variation. When it is synonymous, there can be no variation. Otherwise, language is useless when it comes to communication. If two malefactors are identical with two robbers, or the two robbers with the two malefactors, if Jesus Christ could be crucified with two, and then later on two others brought, and yet we say they're identical, then language class is totally useless as a means of communication. This great record here in the Word of God that we're going to research and teach here tonight will give you a firm rock on which to declare the greatness of God's Word. It will make it possible for you again to see the inherent as well as the inerrant accuracy with which the Word of God speaks when you work it. It'll do what I've declared so many times, fit like a hand in a glove. And it'll work with that mathematical exactness and with that scientific precision. And Luke 23 is the record I want to start with. And it begins with verse 26 of Luke 23. And as they led him, that is Jesus, away on the outside of the judgment hall or the praetorium where they had Jesus and where they had mistreated him, they'd beaten him, put a crown of thorns on his head, hurt him just terribly. His body was so emaciated that nobody would even care to look upon it. It was just, when he came out of the hall, the praetorium, there are just no words to describe the way in which his body looked. on just the visible image of the Lord Jesus Christ when they let him out of the judgment hall. How emaciated his body was, how he had been beaten, how he'd been scourged. And of course, the prophet of old had prophesied that this was exactly what they would do to him. That you'd turn your faces from him because they had hurt him so desperately. In verse 26, as they led him, Jesus, out of that hall of the Praetorium, they laid hold upon one Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Jesus had been beaten and injured to the extent he couldn't have carried his own cross. So when they came out of the judgment hall, here was a man just happened to be there, Simon of Cyrene. And upon him, the rulers laid the cross, and then he bore the cross after Jesus. To Calvary, or Golgotha, or as it's referred to, the place of the skull. And as Jesus was being carried up there, there was one man under each of his arms, just dragging Jesus up to the cross of Calvary. Simon of Cyrene coming along behind, carrying the cross. And the cross was not an upright with a perpendicular. The cross was a tree. Verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him. When Jesus Christ was led to the cross, taken to the cross, verse 32 says there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. It is interesting that that word other here is the word heteros. There is a word alos, A-L-L-O-S, also translated other. There is a word heteros translated other. And when they led Jesus Christ to the cross, they led with him two other malefactors. And the word other is heteros, meaning other of the same relationship. They were both malefactors, understand? They were both malefactors. That's why the word other here is the word heteros. This becomes very important later on, so you just hang in there. Here you see it. Malefactors. Now, what's a malefactor? A malefactor, according to a dictionary, is an evildoer. So every evildoer would be a malefactor. But not every malefactor would be a robber. Wait a minute. Get it right here. Every robber would be a malefactor, but not every malefactor would be a what? There we got her. A murderer would be a malefactor, an evildoer. But not every evildoer is a what? That's the difference. Now, when they led Jesus to Calvary that year, they led with him two malefactors to be put to death in verse 33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him who? Jesus. And the malefactors, plural. How many? Two. Two plus one makes how many?
Three.
Now we got three. That's higher math. Okay. One on the right hand, and the other, where? On the left. Right. The facts are very plain. The truths are very simple. The word for malefactors is the word duokakorgai. An entirely different word used for thieves or robbers, we'll see later on. The word here is heteros duokakorgai. Two other malefactors. And they were crucified with him when they led Jesus out and crucified him. Now verse 39. One of the what? Malefactors. Not both, just one of them. Which was hanged, railed on him, on Jesus, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and what? But the other, heteros, answering, rebuked his body, rebuked him, his body, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this God hath done nothing amiss. Well, here it is again. But this man, talking about whom? Jesus Christ, hath done nothing what? Amiss. Verse 42. And this man said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy what? Kingdom. Beautiful. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, comma, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a tremendous error. One little comma can make. That verse of scripture says that on that day, that one malefactor would be with Jesus in paradise. Now, for that to occur, paradise must be available that day. But paradise was not available that day. Wasn't even available the day afterwards. Is not available tonight. Because paradise is recorded in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Then it's lost in Genesis 3. And it's never regained till at the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, where we have a new heaven and a new earth, wherein there dwelleth righteousness. And that new heaven and that new earth is called paradise. The Greek word is paradosios, transliterated over into English, paradise. And sometimes it's translated garden. That's right. But you see, the teaching has been erroneous in the so-called, quote, Christian and a quote, culture, where we have taught that the moment a Christian dies, he goes to heaven and heaven's paradise. No, 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 no. Paradise is paradise. Heaven's heaven. Soup is what?
Soup.
That's right. Apple butter's apple butter and not peanuts. See? Oh, people. How beautifully simple God's word is. That man that day asked for something that was not available that day, but would be available, and he, belonging to Israel, could make that request. And the request was, verily I say unto thee today, comma. Jesus said to him, I say to you today, I say to you right now, today, comma. While I am dying, you're dying, I say to you today, right now. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say that day, but he said to him that day, while he was dying, and it looked like everything was kaflooey. That's right. It looked like this God who had sent his only begotten son was totally beaten. God's son was being nailed to a cross, hanged on that cross. dying, the death of a criminal. Yet Jesus said to that malefactor, that day you are going to be with me in paradise sometime. And that day of paradise is still coming for Israel when the Lord Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's going to be one person in paradise, I guarantee you, besides Jesus Christ. Because the word says he's going to be there, right? That settles it. You know, heaven is heaven, paradise is paradise. So the word means what it says and says what it means. Has nothing to do with death now. Has everything to do with paradise in the future. That's what he's talking about. That's the record in the Gospel of Luke. And it's very simple. When they led Jesus out of the hall of judgment called the Praetorium, they grabbed a man called Simon of Cyrene and said, look, you bear this cross. And they made Simon of Cyrene carry it after Jesus. And they also led out with Jesus at that identical time two malefactors, duo kakurgai. And they went to Calvary where they crucified Jesus and the two what? But one of the malefactors railed on Jesus. The other said, shut up, man, we're in the same condemnation, remember? Now keep these facts in mind, okay? Just hold it up here a minute. Go to Matthew 27. How beautiful God's word and how simple it is. Sometimes. Matthew 27, verse 32. Well, go back to verse 30, they spit upon him, took a reed, smote him on the head. And after they had mocked Jesus, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, or as one of the texts reads, while they were coming out, or as they came out of the hall of the Praetorium, the judgment hall, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his Jesus' cross. Verse 33, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted, he would not drink. It's like a sedative. And they crucified him, Jesus. Parted his what? Cast lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them. And upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 37. Set up over his head, his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Verse 38, then, T-H-E-N, then is time, not place, it's time. When they, according to Luke, when they led Jesus out, they led with him at that time what? Two what? Malefactors, evildoers. According to Matthew, the record in Matthew, they brought Jesus out, they crucified Jesus. They parted his garments. They cast lots. They sat down and did what? Watched him there. Number 37, verse 37 says, they even set up over his head the accusation, what he was accused of. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that all takes time. They led Jesus out, they crucified him. Then they parted his garments. That takes time. They cast lots. They sat down and watched him there. You know, they didn't just sit like this. When those Eastern people sit, they sit a spell. Like Southerners. Georgia. Florida. Right. That's all time. See it? They sat down and watched him a while. And then they got the accusation, which had to be made out. The art department in Jerusalem took care of that, I suppose. Well, anyways, whoever took care of it, they brought the accusation, and they had to put this up above, over his head. And the accusation said, this is Jesus, King of the Judeans. All of that takes what? Time. Then, T-H-E-N. Anybody can read English, can see it. Then were there two malefactors? No. King James says, then were there two what? Thieves. Now the word thieves is inaccurate. Robbers they were. Two robbers. The words are duo lestai, L-E-S-T-A-I. And there are these words in every manuscript in extent. Duo lestai. Duo is two. Lestai is robbers. The Greek word for thieves is kleptos. K-L-E-P-T-O-S. These were not kleptos. These were lestai. There's a difference between being a thief and being a robber. If you want the most severe judgment of the court, then you're a robber. A thief is sneaky, but a robber does his work with pre-planning. He's going to hold up that bank or something. They plan it all out. They get themselves loaded with the armament, and, you know, they get it in there. A robber, legally, much more serious criminal offense than a thief. Now here the word of God says that after they had done all of this to Jesus, then two robbers were what? Crucified. Two of them. One on the right hand and one or another on the left. The word another in verse 38 is the word one. It's the word eis, E-I-S. One on the right hand and one on the what? Left. And they that passed by, the people as they passed by, reviled him, Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, who thou sayest that destroyest the temple, you're going to build it in 3 days. Save thyself. If thou be the son of what? Says he's a son of whom? Not God on the cross, but the son of what? That what it says? Yeah. That's what he means. Come, we can live 2,000 years after, have the book to read for 2,000 years and still don't know it. Whew. Somebody has sure let us down the drink. Wasn't a primrose path, I guarantee you. Boy, oh boy. That's what they said. They hated him. They despised him. They reviled him. And yet they said, look, you say you're the Son of God? Why don't you trip off of that old cross? That's right. Because he had, you know, he had said to them, you destroy this temple, I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. And they thought he was talking about the physical temple in Jerusalem. And they said, hey, look, you old loudmouth, you old blabbermouth, you said you're going to rebuild that temple in 3 days? If that's true, why don't you come off that cross? Yeah. You so good and strong and smart, come on off that cross. That's what they reviled him with. I want to tell you something. He could have walked off of that cross like water running through a tin horn. He had legions of angels at his command, the word says. And yet they took him captive. They took him into the hall of the Praetorium, the judgment hall, and just literally beat the hell out of him. That's right. They whipped him till he was bleeding all over his body. He could have walked out of that judgment hall. They nailed him to that cross. And the crowd goes by and says, oh, why don't you come off? He could have walked off of that cross. You know what kept him hanging on that cross? So that I could teach you the word of God tonight. His love. His love. His love. For God so what? Love that he gave his only begotten son. It's the love that allowed him to hang on that cross. And because he so loved, he stayed on that cross. Because he so loved, he allowed himself to be captured. Because he so loved, he allowed himself to be beaten to smithereens in that judgment hall. And it's still the love of God today that allows men to live in our day and time, to curse him, to use the name of God in vain, and all the rest of the damnable things that you see in our culture and our society. It's the love of God. The grace of God that allows man to do it. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a day coming. There'll be some changes made. That's right. The first time he was born in a stable and laid in a manger. All of the things we're reading about happened the first coming. But the Word of God says he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's not going to be born in a stable and laid in a manger. They're not going to nail him to a cross. They're not going to spit in his face. They're not going to call him vicious names, because he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Boy, what a day. Hey, they reviled him that day on that cross, saying, you build the temple 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come on down off of that cross. And you know who else did it? The top religious echelon. Likewise, verse 41. The chief priests, mocking with the scribes and the elders, those were the religious leaders. They were the heads of the temple. They were in their day what religious leaders are today. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of what? Yeah. Shoot. They said, if you'll come down off the cross, we'll believe him. I want to tell you something. He could have walked off of that cross and done somersaults. They wouldn't have believed him. The Word of God says if one rose again from the dead, they wouldn't believe, right? They wouldn't believe. They had all the opportunity in the world to believe. They never did. You know who believes? Those who will to believe. You are here tonight because you will to believe God's word. If you didn't will to believe God's word, you'd be out doing something that you willed to do. Right. Jesus Christ never rebutted, never argued, never said a thing. Just kept hanging there for you and me. Verse 44. The duolestai, or the lestai it is, the robbers, plural. The robbers, how many of them? Two. Also, which were crucified with Jesus, cast the same into his what? Teeth. In other words, both of the robbers cast the same into Jesus' teeth, but only one of the what? Malefactors. Real significant, isn't it? That's all there is to the record in Matthew, I believe. Go to John. The Gospel of John. Mark has the same basic record as Matthew. We go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. And here we have a very interesting word in verse 18, the first word. Where? Where is not time, but where is what? Place. According to Luke, when they led Jesus out, they led two what with him? Malefactors. According to Matthew, after they had crucified Jesus, had parted his garments, sat down a while, put up his accusation, then were there two what? Robbers crucified with him. So when you have two robbers and two malefactors, you end up having the phenomenal figure of four. Isn't that tremendous? Why, even in kindergarten, you learn to count to four. Somehow or other, you have to be an adult. Attend college, 3 years of basic seminary, and four more years for your doctor's degree to not be able to count to four. That's terrible. Well, John ties it all together. And he's talking about the place where it all occurred. He sort of gives the synthesis to it, the apex, the whole culmination of the experience where they crucified him, Jesus, and two other with him on either side, one. And Jesus where? In the midst. Whoa, wait a minute. I've got a problem. And a real major problem, right? Because in Luke I learned there were what? Two what? And in Matthew I learned there were what? And 2 + 2 make what? Now I get to John and I read where they crucified him, Jesus, and two other with him on either side, what? Now, if I have on either side one, then I have only two. Now I've got a problem. Well, it's not as difficult a problem as you might suppose, because the word one does not appear in any text in extent. There is no critical Greek text, no Aramaic text, nor any other text that puts the word one in. There isn't any word for it. Now, first of all, the King James was taken from what is called the Stephen's text. Didn't think about it. I brought a copy in just to show it to you. In the Stephen's text, the interlinear, where they have the Greek words and then the corresponding English words in the line, there is no word for one in the text at all. No word there. So what? How do you explain the word one? Very simple. Because the King James was translated in 1611, the original translation, and by 1611, the error had already so solidified itself and had been promulgated to the extent that all the pictures and everything else showed here of cross and one on this side and one on that side. So when they got to translating this according to John, where it all occurred, they added the word one. They added the word one. Read it without the word one. Where they crucified him and two other with him on either what? There it is. And Jesus where? Is that what it says? That's what it means. As simple as that. It's another tremendous truth there. Here's the center cross, right here, represented by the microphone. One cross over here. Here is a cross, and here's a cross. Now, if there were only two other crucified with him, it couldn't say in the midst. It couldn't say in the midst. In John 18, it says, and Jesus where? In the midst. Right? Grammatically, it would have to say one word. What is it? Between. Right. When you have only two over here, the word is between. To have it in the middle, you have to have four, six, eight, then you can have something in the middle. Come on now. That is good grammar. It's good Greek, it's good Aramaic, it's good English. Grammar. Yet John said, Jesus in the what? Midst. When you take that word one out, then you have the accuracy of the word left. Where they crucified Jesus and two other with him on either side. The words in Revelation, same words that appear here, are used in Revelation, and it's translated there, two here and two there. If you put two here and put two there, and Jesus in the midst, you have exactly what John 19:18 says. Look here. Center cross. Jesus on the center cross. When they led him out, they led with him, what? Two malefactors. So they crucified one on the right. You got to do it from my position. On yours, it'd be over here. And one on the what? Left. Later on, they brought two robbers. And they crucified one on the right. And the other where? On the left. That's what it is. And Jesus was still where? In the midst. Not between, but in the midst. This one here is a what now? And that one is a what? That's why the word other is the word allos in verse 18. Other two. This one on this side here was a what? And that was a what? This one over here was a what? And that one was what? That's why it's the word olive. Boy, you talk about the accuracy of the word and the minute exactness of it. Two other here, two other here, and two olives here. Not heteros. As we had of the two malefactors. Okay. Look at verse 32 of John 19. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came, or as the text reads, but when they, having come to Jesus, saw that he was dead already, they break not his what? Legs. Isn't that wonderful? Really beautiful. What a tremendous word of God. You see, here's what I was taught. This is what they want us to believe. And this is what they're going to be teaching in the next couple of weeks again all over our country. And this is almost unbelievable, but this is what we have believed and this is what they teach. They came and they break the legs of what? Now, if there were only two crucified with Jesus, they got to go past Jesus to get to this fellow, right? Because it said they break the legs of the first and of the what? Other, which was what? Okay, now this is what we then have to do. We come, we break this fellow's what? Legs. Now, to do this right, I got to now close my eyes. I run over here and I break this fellow's leg, right? Then I come back and say, oh my goodness. He's dead already. Boy, what great logic, isn't it? Boy, and that's the stuff we've swallowed through the years, all in the name of Christianity and truth, and thinking we were so spiritual. Hey, get my napkins back. The soldiers came. They break the legs of what? And of what? The other. The first one, who was that? This was a what? Then they came to whom? As logical as day follows night and night follows day. The other one makes no sense at all. People break this leg, run on over here, break this and then come back and say, oh my goodness, he's dead already. No. They break the legs of what? A robber. They get to the malefactor and they break his legs. And having come naturally, the participle form, and having come automatically, the next person in line would be who? Jesus. He was what? Dead already. That's how beautiful the word fits. Now it's remarkable that word other is the word allos. Woo-hoo! Hey, this one is a what? Robber. This is a what? Malefactor. They were not two malefactors. Therefore, it could not be other of two malefactors. It was other, one a robber and the other a malefactor. That's why it's the word allos in that. You bet your life. Yes, man. Boy, oh boy, there's the word. So simple, so beautiful. Then came the soldiers. Break the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they, having come to Jesus, saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And they tell me medically that this is always the indication of what you would call a ruptured heart. He died of a broken heart. The word says he just gave up his life. He so loved that he just gave up his life. His heart was broken. What for? for you and for me, so that you and I could come to this day and time and hour in our lives, that we could be born again of His Spirit and have God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why all you need to do after I've taught you this so accurately tonight is make up your mind whether you want to believe God's word or whether you just want to mess around a lifetime in error. It's truth that sets men and women free, the Bible says, not error. And the truth of God's word is that when they led Jesus out from the hall of judgment, the praetorium, they led two malefactors with him. And they crucified the malefactors. And one of the malefactors railed on him. The other one says, "Why don't you shut up?" And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Later on, after they'd parted his garments, cast lot, sat down, watched him a while, and put his accusation above the cross, then they brought two robbers, and they crucified one on the right hand and the other where? And ladies and gentlemen, when you add 2 plus 2, you get how many? Those are the others that were crucified with Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. That's the accuracy of God's word, and that's the greatness of that truth that sets men and women free who have ears to hear and who have eyes to see.